Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, welcome everybody. This is day four of ADHD Awareness Week, brought to you by the ADD Coach Academy and Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. It's Thursday, October the 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And with us in the house tonight, we've got Dr. Ari Tuckman back. We had him on our show about a week ago on the topic of what is attention, understand it, and management. And I'll tell you, the title's not one I expect a lot of people to gravitate to, but my head is still spinning from the conversation, and I would encourage you to go. But there was a lot of thought, both from Ari and my side, and I've still been processing, so it's a great show. But also with us in the house is a Master Certified Coach, Barbara Luther, and tonight's topic is the difference between ADHD coaching and ADHD therapy. And we're going to jump right into things because we don't have a lot of time because we have a lot of material to cover, but I have to remind everybody the CHAD conference is around the corner, November 10th to the 12th. For more information, you go to chadd.org. If you're going to be there, make sure you come up and find me to say hi. I'm very anxious to meet up with new listeners. I'm sure Ari would like to talk to you, as will Barbara, because we will all be there. Another reminder, we just launched Facebook about 10 days ago. If you go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, if you're on Facebook, just put it up in the search and it'll kind of come up. Know that you can kind of go there. You can see upcoming shows. You can access our archives. You can listen to the shows live right off the web. And we're setting things up so we can, in the future, start doing some giveaways and some contests and some prizes, which are exciting. And there's also the wall. Please post your comments to the wall. We're anxious to hear your thoughts and what you think about the shows, what you learned, what you took out of them, and stuff like that. So we talked about that, and well, heck, let's jump into things. Again, tonight our topic is ADHD coach, the difference between ADHD coaching and ADHD therapy. I'm very anxious to learn a lot about this myself. Again, Dr. Tuckman is a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with ADHD. He's got two books. One is More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, and Integrative Treatment for Adults, Adult ADHD, a Practical, Easy-to-Use Guide for Clinicians. Barbara Luther is a Master Certified Coach who specializes in working with clients that have ADHD traits. She's been a Master Certified Coach for 20 years. Her background is a college educator. She's a technical writer. She herself has ADD. She occupies herself when she's not coaching by staying busy. And I got to tell you, she's probably got the biggest library in the Midwest, because I know she absolutely loves to read, and I use her. She's like a dictionary or encyclopedia for me. So with that, Ari and Barbara, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Ari, I'd like to start with, to begin things off, let's just talk about therapy for a second and what therapy is. And when I think of therapy, there's counselors and there's therapists, there's psychologists and psychiatrists. There's neurologists too, I'm not going to bring it up. But when we say therapy, is it the same for all of those? Is it different? Can you give us a little bit of a definition so we know where to start with this?
Sure. It can definitely be confusing. There are people from a number of different professions who can do therapy, and certainly there are all the people you mentioned. There's also like marriage and family therapists. So there's, you know, who you get therapy from is sometimes less relevant than who the person, in terms of what their training is sometimes less relevant than the person in terms of the chemistry that you have with them, which is obviously just as important with coaching, that it's all about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, do they know the things that you need them to know? Like, so if you have ADHD, do they know ADHD well and not just like, you know, they read bits and pieces of a book or two, but that they really know things. So yeah, I think that, you know, the names are different, but the process is sort of the same. Well, actually, that's not even true. See, this is where this is going to get confusing.
Yeah, that's why I asked you the question, so we can sort through this.
Yeah, so we can get confused right before even Barbara makes us even more confused when we talk about what's the difference between coaching and therapy. It's hard to define therapy. If we even put coaching on the side, therapy itself is hard to define because there's a lot of different ways to do it. There are different sort of theoretical orientations or theoretical approaches of, you know, how do we tick? You know, different people have different beliefs about that. And based on your belief about how people tick, then that creates, you know, ideas about certain interventions, certain strategies, certain techniques will be more helpful versus less helpful in terms of helping people basically be happier. So, you know, there's like cognitive behavioral therapy is one type, and then there's psychoanalytic therapy is another kind, and then there's these new hybrids like acceptance and commitment therapy or, you know, humanistic therapy. There's all these little kind of schools and groups of thought. So yeah, it's hard then to sort of put it all under one umbrella, but I guess the basic idea would be that therapy is a process, and I'm making this up on the fly, but therapy is a process of understanding yourself better and understanding the world around you better in terms of your relationships or under other people, and thereby hopefully feeling happier, feeling more fulfilled, feeling more satisfied in your life. So broad definition.
I had once, actually, maybe something you wrote or somebody else, I had heard therapy is kind of addressed to deal with the fallout of a lifetime of struggles. And again, I'm not so sure. Maybe you had written that stuff. Is that accurate, or is that a little...
You know... First of all, I like the phrasing on that. I wish I could claim that was mine. But is it true? I mean, I guess, sort of. I mean, in the sense that, you know, we are the product of our pasts. But, you know, what product we become from our past, of course, is a very big and interesting and hard to answer question. In other words, some people grow up in very supportive families and, you know, have a generally, you know, as most would sort of say, a pretty easy life growing up. And yet, you know, they're extremely unhappy. They're not effective in the world. They're not successful. So, you know, their past predicts one thing and their actual present looks very different. And then, you know, you go the other way. Some people grow up in horrible situations, by anyone's account, horrible situations, and yet they're pretty happy. And they're, you know, maybe successful in their careers and they're successful in their community. You know, so once again, like, the past doesn't guarantee the future or the present. Mm-hmm. So how it is that, you know, who we are kind of biologically, temperamentally, how that interacts with the world around us to create who we are is a very complicated question. But you know, I think that, you know, therapy does tend to look back perhaps to some greater degree than coaching does in terms of how did you get here and therefore what are you going to do about it. But even that is not entirely a true statement. You know, I think once Barbara and I start talking about this, it'll become even, you know, we'll see even more how that's not a true statement. So,
well, I can put one stake in the sand and divide the two, because correct me if I'm wrong, but in order to provide therapy, you actually have to be licensed in a state. Is that right?
Mostly that's true. In order to call yourself a psychologist, for example, you have to be licensed. In order to call yourself a marriage and family therapist, you have to be licensed. These are what are called protected titles. So therapist is not a protected title. So anybody can call themselves a therapist, but it doesn't mean they know anything, and it doesn't mean that the state, you know, in my case, Pennsylvania, but whatever state you live in has sort of deemed them, you know, capable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly not going to say that the 200-question multiple-choice test I took to get licensed as a psychologist prepared me in any kind of way to be effective, you know, face-to-face with people. But there was something of a, you know, vetting process that took place there. So yeah, I mean, generally, though, therapists are licensed by the state that they live in. They've had to fulfill certain requirements in terms of schooling. They've had to fulfill some sort of a test or whatever, some sort of supervised experience, usually in terms of clinical practice, and then, you know, some ongoing continuing education requirements. So so that is definitely true for most therapists.
And the one thing I can say is on the coaching side, from a state perspective and that type of stuff, that's not required, and that is a difference, because on the therapy side, there are some of those things where you have to be licensed by the state, you have to do some, and you can't practice outside of state lines in those situations, right?
Yeah, and that is one of the, you know, that's one of the places where coaches, I think, have a real advantage over those of us who are licensed professionals, is that, you know, I'm licensed in the state of Pennsylvania, but if someone calls me from the state of, you know, I don't know, Delaware, or, well, they could maybe drive here, but like, you know, Colorado, I'm not licensed in Colorado. So I could try to say, yeah, but I'm sitting in Pennsylvania. And the problem is the Colorado Board of Psychology may say, yeah, but your client is sitting in our state, so
yep,
we have jurisdiction over this, and you're not licensed in our state. So, unfortunately, it hasn't been defined yet. Like, the psychology boards have not gotten together and come up with a uniform answer. Mostly they've
mm-hmm.
kind of ignored it and just waited to see what happened in terms
yep.
of, you know, telemedicine and stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, so it will be resolved. It just hasn't been resolved yet. And, of course, the line that I have about this is, you know, you don't want to be the guy that they figure this out on. You know, I don't want to
yeah.
pay a lawyer $80,000 to defend myself against the Colorado Board of Psychology for them to then figure out, well, okay, it is practicing, or no, it's not, or you
yep.
have to be practicing
yep.
in your state or not in the other. Like, so yeah, I mean, and I mean, I get calls or emails on a fairly regular basis from people out of state, which I love. I wish I could help them. I wish
yep.
I could, you know, work with them, but I can't,
yep.
you know.
Whereas, like, on my side, I work with people. I've coached people in Israel and Bogota and California and Bermuda because I can do that stuff because of that stuff. And that is an interesting difference between the two. I mean, again, on your side, I guess there's some therapists, but bottom line is that is a thing that's out there that I just want to make everybody aware of.
I think that's good because, you know, part of the problem is that, you know, if you think about it, why would you contact someone who lives 1,000 miles away from you and say, would you be my therapist? Obviously, it's because you're striking out trying to find someone who actually knows ADHD in adults within a drivable distance.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's part of the problem is that there are not enough therapists out there who really know ADHD in adults. So they are reaching out, and they're reaching out to people like me across the country.
Yep.
And they're reaching out to coaches. And, you know, this is sort of perhaps a controversial line, but, you know, if therapists had done a better job addressing the needs of adults with ADHD, the field of ADHD coaching never would have sprung up because there would not have been a need for it. But we have dropped the ball so badly that the coaches have had, like, they could not have had a wider opening to come into.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't do a good job of it, they wouldn't have stuck around. So, you know, coaches are providing something, they're providing a service that adults with ADHD are not getting other places. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the risk of sounding a little bit sort of sour grapes about it, like, you know, I present for members of the public, but I also present for clinicians. And it's like pulling teeth to get some of these other therapists to come out to learn about adults with ADHD. Like, they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me crazy because I know they have clients who are adults with ADHD. They just
mm-hmm.
don't know it.
Yep.
You know, like, if you look at the statistics of it, depending on what diagnosis you're looking at, it's anywhere from, like, 1 in 5 to 1 in 10 of someone with, you know, bipolar or anxiety
yep.
or depression or whatever also has ADHD. So unless these therapists are seeing, like, 3 clients a week, you know, statistically, they've got, you know, anywhere from 1 to 5 or 10 clients
sure.
who have ADHD, and they have no idea. They don't look for it. They don't find it. And thereby, they don't serve that need, which is why, you know, the coaches have been able to do so well for themselves, is because they actually have a clue when it comes to this diagnosis.
So that's interesting. But I want to take a break here, run to commercial, and when we get back, Barbara, well, I want to talk to you about the other side, the ADD coaching side, kind of define that space, and then we'll kind of bring the two of you in the discussion. We'll talk about that. But before we go, just into break, I want to remind everybody, if you want to Barbara's company is Wind Beneath Your Wings. That's windbeneathyourwings.com. If you go there, you can learn more about her. And Barbara, you have a contact button there, so if somebody wants to email you, they can just hit that?
Absolutely.
And Ari, is if you want to get in contact with him or you want to get his books or stuff, go to adultadhdbook.com. So with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
I thought I could handle college, but I just got my grades. My first year was a disaster. I barely passed. My folks think I slacked off, but I really tried hard. I just could not keep organized with all my assignments. By the end, I just gave up. Maybe I'm just not cut out for college.
Did you know that students have the highest risk of failure during their first semester of college? That's especially true for students who learn differently. Many bright and motivated students with learning disabilities and ADHD have chosen Landmark College in Vermont in order to develop the learning strategies and confidence they'll need to succeed academically. Princeton Review says, simply put, Landmark College knows how to serve students who learn differently better than any other place on earth. We're now accepting students for our fall semester. Learn more at landmark.edu. That's landmark.edu.
Serve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio.
And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Dr. Ari Tuckman and Master Certified Coach Barbara Luthi here talking about the difference between ADHD coaching and ADHD therapy. And before the break, to quote Russell Barkley, Ari gave us a dog's breakfast definition of therapy, so now we're really going to confuse you by talking about coaching for a second, and then we'll throw everything into the mix. So, Barbara, can you talk to us a little bit about ADHD coaching and what that is?
Sure, Jeff. ADHD coaching starts from an understanding of ADHD. We really try to train coaches to know what to listen for and to ask for. So they really have an understanding, not from a technical diagnostic kind of standpoint, but understanding what it's like, understanding where all it can have impact, so that we can really hear and understand and support that person. So that's where we start. And then the coaching is on top of that. So they're well-trained coaches, and then they have the ADD specialty on top.
And coaching is really not as much about the past. It's like, okay, what problems do you have today, and how are we going to get you to resolve those? Is that accurate?
Sure. I would say that when an ADD client comes to me, the first thing I'm hearing is probably what Ari hears. I hear pain, I hear hopelessness, I hear frustration, I hear an immediate desire for a strategy and a system. But here's the problem. A coach needs to hear way beyond that, and that's what an ADD-trained coach does. An ADD-trained coach hears beyond that immediate desire for just strategies and to hear the incredible person that's there, that's holistic. It's not just their ADD. And we want to hear them and hear that they, most of them I run into, they so badly want to live up to their potential. They want to contribute, but they don't understand their own ADHD. So that's one of the things that's in the way. So we've got to hear the whole person, and we try to work with that whole person. So, yes, it's about action, but it's about action in a context of who they are, what's important to them, and where their strengths and passions lie.
One of the things about coaching, I'm CTI trained, and one of the things they taught you is the client is created naturally resourceful and whole. And translation is there's nothing broken about them. They're actually fixed. And that it's really just about helping them realize who they are or understanding their version of ADHD so they can kind of move forward. Do you see that as a differentiating thing about ADHD coaching, is that we don't see anybody's broken and that you're really kind of fixed? It's just a matter of just you don't necessarily know, you haven't really paid attention to what works for you?
Yes, absolutely. We do see the client as whole, complete, but missing perhaps some knowledge and understanding about themselves, understanding about where ADD is impacting them. So our job is to partner with them, and it's very much a partnership. Neither of us, the coach or the client, knows what's exactly going to work for that ADDer. We have to go and explore it together. So we each bring knowledge. We bring knowledge separately, but we work together for that client.
So as a coach, really you don't walk in with a solution. You're actually very curious to understand that individual and kind of come up with their customized solution?
Yes, absolutely. We've got to explore and learn together. And once we begin to understand their particular ADHD and how it impacts them, once we begin to understand where their interest is, then we can get into those questions you said about finding those right strategies that are truly customized for them. But it starts from understanding who that person is as a whole, complete person. And then we can explore, what do you want? Where are those goals? And then, you know, why do you want it? That's another piece I think that's a little different. Maybe it's in therapy, but for me, when we ask not just what do you want as a goal, but why do you want it, we're trying to get at the value and the meaning for that person and help them get in touch with their own motivation. So once we have that context, then we can look at now what's getting in the way. So we can look at that, we can hear some of the barriers and some of the ADD. And then from there, Jeff, what I think we do is then we say, what do we need to learn together? So we may need to learn ADD and models. We usually have to learn strengths because the ADDer coming in so often is focused on just what doesn't work and what they don't like. But there are strengths there. And looking at those things are the things we have to learn and helping them remember what they've already done. And who they are. So that's a learning piece that we do. And then we can get down to what will you do right now? So then we get into actions, and then we talk about supports for those actions. How do we help them design their environment? How do we help them start thinking about new beliefs and good, healthy self-talk? And then we're customizing strategies for them.
You know,
it's in the context.
Yeah, and I want to kind of highlight this because in the last month I've interviewed Dr. Richard Bandler, who was a co-creator of NLP. Ned Hollowell was on the show earlier this week. We talked to David Gwork on Tuesday a little bit, and now you about the coaching. Richard Bandler, NLP, he said, you know, that is the study of successful behavior. And Dr. Hollowell, said, what's exciting to you about the world? He said, it's the positive psychology. And David, on Tuesday, was talking about trying to pay attention to what works in that strength-based approach. And one of the things that's been interesting to me in working with people is most people, it's easy to recognize what you're not very good at. But when you ask people what works, very few of them actually know what that is. They don't understand. And I'll tell you, personally, I love it when somebody says, I want coaching on, you know, time management, organization. I say, great, next week when I ask you what you want coaching on, say that, and they'll invariably do that. that, and I'll say, wow, you've made amazing success last week. How'd you do it? And they go, what do you mean? And I go, well, you made this appointment on time. And there's this awkward pause, and I go, how did you make this appointment on time? What did you do to remember it? And they're like, they have no idea because they don't even know how to recognize it. They never paid
That's
attention
right.
to what works. And it's
That's right. Yeah.
It's fun for me because, you know, I'm setting them up a little bit. But they do have organizational systems, and it's fun to hear that awkward pause where they don't know. And then you start to say, well, tell me, like, let's explore. Let's learn together what enabled you to remember this meeting. Because whatever you did worked, let's start there.
That's great, Jeff, because that's what we've got to do is start with that they haven't been looking at. They haven't even noticed it. They've been so busy focused on what they're not happy about that they've missed some great things, and they've missed their own natural organization. So that's where we get to start exploring.
Ari, I'll ask you a question. I know in the coaching world, sometimes we talk about success diaries. Well, we'll ask somebody to go through a day and write down everything that you did right. Even if I got up and I brushed my teeth and I cleaned the dishes and stuff like that. And the point of that sometime is to help people start to begin to be aware of how much they do right in a day. It might seem small, like I cleaned the house before I got the kids out of it, or I made it to work on time. Is that something that you would find in a therapy environment?
You know, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly among many therapists you would, perhaps not all of them. But, you know, I mean, even like from couples therapy, for example, there's this concept called positive attending, that looking for the positive things that your partner does. So especially when you're kind of like mad at your partner, like when there's a lot of tension in the relationship, we tend to notice more of the negatives, and it just negatives fuel the negatives. So positive attending is the act of looking at the things that your partner does well, looking for them. But yeah, that same process should also be applied in individual therapy, particularly with, you know, clients with ADHD who feel that, you know, they're doing worse than they actually are. They feel like they're not doing anything well. They don't feel like they have any of those building blocks, those skills, those habits that if you can sort of build, you know, put some of them together a little bit differently, you've really got something. So yeah, I think that, you know, definitely, I think that is an important piece. I think the positive psychology stuff is really great, and there's a lot of good stuff there. But, you know, listening to what Barbara was talking about in terms of helping clients find their motivation and find what's important to them, it, you know, I'm going to draw another parallel. There's a brand of therapy or this school of thought of therapy called acceptance and commitment therapy. And a big part of their shtick is identifying your values, you know, what's really mm-hmm. important to you, in that when you can identify that and then, you know, work to pursue those values or to live by those values, you will feel much happier. So it's not, you know, therapy, I think, has moved away from this old school thought of, you know, therapy is meant to take away pain and get people back to where they were. And so it's going from a negative back to a zero, and has moved more towards whether you start in pain or not, we want to get you ideally like better than you were before. So it's about creating positives, not just about removing negatives.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to a break for a second, but before we do, I want to tee up a situation, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you guys some time to think about it. I'd like you maybe, you know, tell me what if this was therapy, what if it was coaching, and we'll just kind of use this as like a little bit of a model. Is that good with you guys?
Yeah, sounds fun.
Sure.
Okay. This story is an amalgam of a few different things that I worked with, but I have worked a couple times with people that I was coaching that was also working with therapists. And imagine, if you will, I'm working with an ADDer who I call them a verbal processor. They kind of think out loud. They have to talk for a period of time until they get their arms around really what they're saying and they actually can kind of get to the point. It's like they're bombarded with the ideas, and it's an organizational process. And in working with this person, we started to realize that, but we also started to realize this person really deals in feelings. They can't remember the details. They can just remember the feeling that they had in that particular situation. And they were actually had a a spouse who was kind of the opposite, very, very detailed, very articulate, was in a type of business that was very very analytical, very factual based and stuff like that. And they were going to talk to the therapist and came back, and I totally agree with the therapist that they need better communication. They weren't communicating was one of the things that we're supposed to work on. And this person brought it up in a coaching conversation, and I said, okay, so I'm hearing that you say that you guys need to communicate. And I said, let me ask you a question. What's hard about communicating? And the person said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, we all know that you need to communicate. If it was easy, you would have done it by now, right? So what's hard? And as we started to kind of just explore kind of what might have been hard, we kind of ended up with this analogy that this person thinks and feeling it's difficult for them to convert those feelings articulately into data in a very quick period of time, where the other individual could kind of do that. And we got the concept of, you know, it'd be a lot easier if I got the minutes. Like if I knew what the topic was and I had 24 hours to get my thoughts and together, then I could sit down and have a conversation with you. Well, where we ended up at the end metaphorically was they were speaking different language. One spoke Japanese and one sent, what I know, Portuguese, because they had different styles and they didn't appreciate what the other person, in other words, everybody was like, I want you to feel, no, I want the details, and they weren't communicating because of their different styles. And the idea was to say, hey, listen, we know you want to communicate, but the obstacle is you're not communicating in the same language. One's communicating feeling, one's communicating fact, and we need to understand that first before we can kind of manage it. So with that, I'm going to let you guys think about that. And we're going to go to a commercial break and we come back. I'd like to get your thoughts and perspectives on that from a coaching or therapy perspective and see if we can differentiate the two. So a reminder, everybody, if you've got any questions or want to learn more about Barbara Luther, go to windbeneathyourwings.com. And for Ari, go to adultadhdbook.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Has your child been diagnosed with ADHD? Is he not fulfilling his potential? Success in Mind can help. We provide assessments that identify a student's learning profile of strengths and challenges. The result? A practical plan of strategies and tools that go beyond medication that parents, teachers, and students can implement together. If your child needs more success, visit Success in Mind at www.success-in-mind.org.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Attention Talk Radio. We have a spirited discussion about the difference between ADHD therapy and ADHD coaching with Dr. Ari Tuckman and Master Certified Coach Barbara Luther. At the top of the show, we were talking about therapy and stuff, and then we kind of took a break and talked a little bit about coaching. And before the break, I kind of posed a little bit of a scenario. And I'm interested, Barbara, let's begin with you, your thoughts. With what I kind of framed out in that situation, coaching, therapy, what do you think?
It definitely sounded like coaching to me, Jeff, because you helped the person begin to understand that they were a verbal processor, that you helped them discover for themselves that they come from feelings and learn that the spouse is coming from different. You really helped them get in touch with the motivation that by asking what's hard about communicating. So now they have a context and a motivation going forward together to work on it. And hopefully there's also a curiosity created there and a safety that is going to allow that person to explore and feel empowered to learn and discover it for himself or herself, because that's really, really key.
Ari, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Barbara is saying. I think I would, from a therapy angle, I would sort of spin it this way, where I would say that what was helpful about that was that you helped each of the two of them understand themselves more clearly, in the sense of one of them communicates more by feelings, one of them more by fact. But you also helped them understand each other more clearly, and that enabled them to, I don't know, to not take it so personally. In other words, you know, we tend to expect others to do to us what the way that we do to them, that, you know, the person who talks in feelings will feel that the person talking in facts isn't meeting their needs or doesn't want to or doesn't care or whatever, which may not be accurate. You know, it's just that the other person is talking a different language, so they're not providing it in the form that that person wants. So, you know, so basically what you did was you reinterpreted the situation. You changed their thinking about, you know, if he or she talks to me in facts, even though I want feelings, what does that mean about, you know, the other person? What does that mean about the relationship? How can I be happy with this or not? And then vice versa. So yeah, it was a sort of a reframing, to use a cognitive behavioral therapy term. It was a reframing. You know, the situation was still the same, but you reframed in the way that they interpreted the other person. And perhaps you also educated them about, if you're talking to your partner who tends to hear things more this way, it would behoove you, you would be better off if you presented your, if you presented it more in that kind of a way. You feel it, or, you know, have it however inside your head, but when you deal with them, present it more like this. It'll probably work better for you.
So what's interesting is where I was dealing with the situation, I was kind of coming from, let's just break it down and find what the obstacle was, and let's talk about really how this works. Like, if we understood how this works, like, if I understood how a lawnmower works and it's broken, I can probably figure out how to fix it. But if I don't know how it works, I'm really kind of lost. Mm-hmm. And we tried to break it down, tried to find out what the obstacle was and kind of break it down. And I'm going through this because verbal processor or speaking with feelings, I'm not so sure there's a test or a scientific way to actually prove or categorize that these person or any of those. Yet we did develop a little bit of a language between the two of us and a context to put it in. So I'm interested from your thoughts, Ari. You know, is this a bunch of fluff or is it science? Or how do you classify that? Because at one sense, I haven't seen a book or any science that says, you know, define these are what, this is what a verbal processor is. We're just kind of talking in language and looking at behavior and labeling type things. And this person's like, well, it kind of makes some sense. But as somebody who's gotten their doctorates and stuff like that, can you kind of speak to this a little bit? I mean, it's a little fuzzy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, I've sort of thought about this myself at, you know, random times along the way, that my general preference, you know, because I think I am more of a facts guy than a feelings guy in the interest of self-disclosure here, that, you know, my basic belief here is that things that are accurate tend to be more helpful, or they're more helpful in more situations, you know. So something that is inaccurate, that sounds nice, but it's inaccurate, you might get lucky here and there, but if something is factually correct, it's probably going to be helpful in across a number of different situations. Having said that, there are times when, you know, we come up with an interpretation, with an idea, with a metaphor that might not actually be accurate, and sometimes it's something that we could indeed verify it, and other times we can't really verify it, but just lo and behold, it turns out that it, you know, in the big truth, big capital T kind of truth, it's not true, it's not fully accurate. But if it works, then it works, you know? So if this metaphor worked for this couple, and it helped them get from where they are to where they could be, then maybe we don't have to care if it's accurate or not. You know, like in their case, if it worked and it sticks, then, you know, it had some truth with a, you know, some little t truth to it.
Interesting. That's fascinating. Barbara, I want to ask you a similar type question. You know that I call myself an attention coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Because I think it actually reflects. I don't think we change anybody. All we do is try to help them change what they pay attention to. And I know from being on faculty or in teaching classes at Coach U and doing some stuff at the AD Coach Academy that there's a lot of metaphors that are used as kind of filters to help people kind of shift what they're paying attention to. Is coaching really kind of based on using like lots of metaphors and coming up with a person's own science? Or, I mean, Ari's talking about, you know, some stuff. Just what are your thoughts in that kind of space?
Well, Jeff, it is, we do use a lot of metaphors. We're trying to find and speak the client's language so that they can come to a new perspective. And that's what you help this person do, is to come to a new perspective. And that new perspective gives them some new awareness, which feels good, but it's just, is the starting point, really. Because then, whatever that new awareness is, the coach's job is to say, now what are you going to do with it? How are you going to remember and use it? And so if it's good or true, like Ari said, if it's going to stick, they're going to be able to identify actions and start working from it. And that's really powerful, and that's a very much a part of coaching, that we go beyond just the awareness.
Question for you, Ari, now is I've been listening to this a little bit, and it sounds to me that the therapy world and coaching world is actually kind of over a period of time slowly starting to merge together. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's because good ideas are good ideas, you know, whichever group came up with them, good ideas get borrowed. And I think that's great. You know, that's how it should be. And I don't think that a good idea needs to be limited to only one type of, you know, professional. So yeah, I think that there is this natural kind of blending together, and I think that, you know, when I wrote my first book, the integrative treatment book, 4 years ago, I have to say, I wasn't clear on what the difference is between coaching and therapy then, and it's, only gotten more confusing, you know? Barbara and I, we actually had a conversation. I actually asked her, I said, I want to talk to you because I want to understand the difference before I wrote More Attention, Less Deficit. And it was a great conversation, and I talked to a number of other people as well, and they're all very bright, you know, articulate people. And, I have to say, I still don't know the difference, you know? And the joke that I had, you know, I'll share this for the listeners, before, you know, when the three of us were talking before we began to go on, was, you know, my hope is that by the end of the show, you know, I would learn what the difference is between coaching and therapy. And I think it's easy to define it at the extremes, you know? So, let's take the extreme of therapy, which is, you know, psychoanalytic, you know, so psychoanalysis where you lie on a couch and you stare at the ceiling and you talk about your parents, you know, 3 days a week and the therapist says nothing ever, you know. So that's one end of things. And then at the other end, let's talk about coaching, which is all about, you know, tell me what you do. Okay, I'm going to tell you how to do it different. Here's your assignment. Email me when you've done it. Go. And these are obviously characters. Right, and these are these are caricatures, and you know, psychoanalysis isn't that either. But you know, so we can point to the extremes and show how they're different. But man, is there a lot of overlap in the middle, where a lot of what I'm doing is a lot of what Barbara's doing, a lot of what she's doing, I think, is a lot of what I'm doing. So I don't think you can find a line when things overlap.
It's interesting. I've been listening to you, and all of a sudden, I just had this brainstorm of information. A lot of times, people will call me up and they want coaching. I say, well, let me ask you, what's your perception of coaching? And I say, let me frame out how I look at coaching. There's two kinds of coaches. There's those that have a solution that are going to coach your behavior to it. And they're really more like a consultant that are used. It's fashionable to use the word coach right now, but they're going to tell you how to do it, and then they're going to say, you know, go get your Franklin planner, and here's what I want you to do, and you need to do this for a whole bunch of time and change it. Then there's the other kind of coach that's, I don't have a solution for you. I'm curious on how you work, and we're going to try to figure out what your natural solution is. And there's these two sides of it. And Barbara was kind of chiming in a second ago, because that here's the solution is really not a coaching, that's really kind of a consulting type thing. And I'm hearing you say, on the other side, the psychoanalytical couch kind of stuff that's kind of old school, but I'm hearing that we both have these old school camps and definitions that people kind of latch on to. But in the end of the day,
what I'm starting to hear is that there's these two sides that are actually starting to get closer together and starting to merge together, and it's becoming a blending of ideas. And when you think about that, other than some fiefdoms and some stuff like that, it's really pretty exciting because you're bringing the best of the world, two worlds together.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that?
I think that is exciting. And what I hope and what I so love about coaching is it is so collaborative. We're such equal partners exploring together. And I'm not a consultant. I'm not a therapist who's going to still have that hierarchy because of the perception of that profession. So that's one difference to me, Jeff. It just that's what it feels like is that difference. That partnership is really strong, and we're able to. I know therapists create safety as well, but there's something about that foundation that with the coach, because we're asking for action, we're celebrating with them, that feels to me very special.
Mm. All right, your thoughts?
I think once again, I think that distinction will absolutely stick with some therapists who have a certain, you know, way of doing it, but not as much with other therapists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, certainly, you know, I, as much as I'll sort of offer suggestions for strategies, I'll also pull for strategies from my clients. I'll absolutely celebrate their successes. So I don't know. Like I feel like I'm going to be sort of like the broken record on this, but I feel like that once again, I think that there's overlap, and that, you know, if I want to be really sort of concrete about it, I suppose what I would say is that here's the difference: coaches do coaching and therapists do therapy, but that still doesn't tell us anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, just like the, you know, the field of therapy is evolving and there's new ideas and there's new, you know, developments, the field of therapy is evolving, or the field of coaching is evolving as well, you know, that there are new ideas and new developments there. So even if we were to try to, even if we did come up with a really great definition right now, it doesn't mean that a year from now that's still going to stick, because the field of therapy isn't the same in a year and the field of coaching isn't the same in a year.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very well put. I mean, at the end of the day, what I'm really taking away from this is that it's all evolving. We're sharing, as you said, a good idea is a good idea. Doesn't really know where it comes from. And that, in one sense, I'm starting to feel from this conversation, and I'm telling our listeners right now, I came into this conversation with a different thing, is that there's these definitions that we think of that are on the extreme, but in the reality is these lines are really starting to blur because everybody's starting to share the best of both sides, which is a good thing, because at the end of the day, as we start to share what actually works for those that we're working with, it's only going to benefit those that we're helping, no matter where the idea kind of came from. And there's still the old school stuff that's on the outside that is still kind of lingering out there based off of beliefs and stuff of how it's supposed to be. But more and more the progressive side, these things are starting to come together, and it's exciting because it's only going to improve everybody across the board, whether you call yourself a coach or therapist. The end user, the beneficiary, is benefiting from the collective knowledge of the two kind of coming together.
Jeff, I think that's really true. What we come down to is the coach, the therapist, is passionate about assisting these folks to appreciate themselves, to find things so that they can live the lives they want to do. And that's what I care about, is if it's a therapist or a coach, do they care? Have they gotten the knowledge so that they can be as supportive as they can to assist that client?
Now, I got to thank the two of you. The free education that I get from interviewing my guests, I absolutely love this job because I learned something coming off of each one of these things, and I want to thank both of you. I want to kind of move to kind of wrap some stuff up, Ari, any last comments or anything you'd like to share or anything we haven't covered you think that would be valuable to share with our listeners before we close things out?
I would just say, whether you're looking for a therapist or a coach, or you're not really sure which one you're looking for, I think it's all about the chemistry. It's about finding someone where there's a good fit, but also that they really know what you need them to know. I think that the danger in finding a therapist as an adult with ADHD is that a lot of therapists don't know ADHD in adults. Maybe they think they do, or they know a few things. They don't know enough to know how much they don't know. So, you know, I think you need to do your homework on that and really sort of ask around and find somebody good and interview some people and ask how many adults with ADHD they have treated. I think on the other side of the coin, I think the danger with coaching is that because coach is not a protected term, anybody can call themselves a coach, there's a wide variety of folks out there. Now, having said that, you know, there's a lot of therapists who have indeed gotten a license, and they may be great therapists in some ways, but are horrible for ADHD because they have no clue at all. So I don't want this to sound at all like I'm knocking coaches harder than I'm knocking the therapist, but what it means is that you want to find a coach who really has taken their profession seriously. Like, they've gotten official training somewhere. They've gotten some kind of a certification. Barbara can talk about what are the good ones to look for in terms of certifications. That this is a serious thing that they do, because it is a serious thing. Like, there's people's lives and happiness on the line. So, like, you want to be trained. You want to be good at it. If you are a coach, and if you're looking for a coach, you want someone who really does take it seriously and is willing to work as hard as you're going to work on it.
Something you bring up a very excellent point, and I'd like to underscore that, is that you do, it is a chemistry type thing. You want the people that are serious, and there is a little bit of a, on the coaching side, it's a little bit more dangerous if you don't have to go through the licensing process, because anybody can just say, hey, I'm an ADHD coach. Now, there is the ADHD Coaches Organization. They're a group of professionals. They have to pay to be a part of a membership, which would indicate that they're serious. There's certain coaches out there that are certified with the International Coaches Federation to say, hey, listen, these people are dedicated to the professionalism. And there's also on the ADHD side, there's two organizations, one IAC and the other one's PAC, and they're the organizations that are trying to come together to credential coaches to say, these people have actually gone through training, they've been certified, or they've done something to, so that as a consumer that you can look for some of these things. But I think you bring up a good point. One is there's got to be good chemistry, but two, do some digging and make sure that this person has got some background and some credentialing. And I will point to a couple of resources. On October the 26th, we're having Catherine Ellison, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, come on, and we're actually going to talk to – she got diagnosed with ADD, and she wrote a book, and she talked about, as a journalist, how you go out and you actually find people who actually kind of know what they're talking about. And it's going to be a fascinating show. So if you're interested in maybe some tips of, like, how you kind of check the stuff out, I would encourage you to listen to that show. And also, back in April – we had Dr. Jose Fordada that was on, who is a neurologist who has ADD, who diagnoses children and adults with ADHD. And it was interesting to me because he got his medical degree back in the 80s, and he said back then, as a neurologist, ADHD was not a part of the curriculum. It was an elective. And as he described to me, he says, you know, it's interesting, there's a lot of people in the mental health world who when they got their education, ADHD wasn't a part of the curriculum. So those that know about it have a passion for it and went to seek it out for whatever reason, and the rest of it's kind of sprinkled in. And I'm just sharing that with you because as you start to think about stuff, I think it's important to kind of keep in mind to as you look to make sure you find the right professional. And I don't want to put words in the mouth, but Ari, did I articulate that right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, absolutely.
Barbara, on your side, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to say that you think our listeners should be aware of or think of in this process?
I think, Jeff, you said it well about coaches, but definitely look for somebody who is passionate and calls themselves an ADHD coach and ask for their where they've been trained, ask them what their philosophy is, that sort of thing. You would do that with a therapist as well, I hope, but there are a lot of people, like you said, that can use that term coach, so look for one that's passionate, and that's usually ones that are proudly saying ADHD coach.
Well, Ari, Barbara, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show, but more importantly, I really appreciate you guys coming on and celebrating ADHD Awareness Week with us. This is such an important time of the year. It's been a thrill for me this week. Last night was a blast because we had Michelle Novotny on, David Gwork, and Evelyn Green. They had a reunion. I was interviewing Michelle about writing the Senate resolution that brought this about. There's a buzz going all over the internet right now in terms of things that are kind of going on. And for you guys to take the time out of your schedules and come on the show and talk about this particular topic, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I know the community appreciates it, and I appreciate you coming on and celebrating ADHD Awareness Week. And more importantly, both of you, I love you kind of coming on because I always walk away learning something for free. Because you're both very very bright people. And again, I'm just going to ask Barbara, for those that want to learn more about you or get in contact, the website is windbeneathyourwings.com, or do you want to share a telephone number or email address?
They're both on the site, so I would rather just say go there
and you can kind of do it. And Ari, again, adult ADHDbook.com, is that's the best place to buy your book, to get in contact with you and learn more?
Yeah, as well as subscribe to the podcast.
There you go. With that, thank you very much, guys. This will conclude this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Tune in tomorrow night. We have a very special show talking about some ADHD scholarships for post-secondary education that include 1 year worth of free coaching. So tune into that again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. That will wrap up our week. Our celebration of ADHD Awareness Week. So with that, thanks everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you tomorrow night.